Hey, this is Pastor Mark. You do not want to miss this week's podcast. You're going to laugh till you cry, but it's good tears. They're good tears. So, man, tune in, listen to this podcast. It's going to inspire you, encourage you, and prayerfully help bring change that you desire in your life. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Wow. Yeah, you're out there, okay. All right, let's stand, hold our Bibles up. This is our confession. Welcome all of you watching online. Get your focus. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God, and I boldly confess. My mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same again. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So glad that you're here today. Time change Sunday. Spring forward usually means drag in. Nobody springs forward. You just lost an hour of sleep, but you'll get it back in November, so don't worry about it. we're so glad that you're here. And began this series on the ways to God's blessings last week. And blessing is oftentimes difficult for us to embrace or feel like we deserve it. And it's not about what we deserve, really, because if we got what we deserve, none of us would go to heaven. But we're thankful for God's grace and God's mercy. And when I talk about blessing, it's not a sloppy kind of thing where you name it and claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about learning how to live in all areas of life a blessed life. It's blessing. We're blessed when we're at peace. We're blessed when we walk in joy. We're blessed when we have God's provision. We're blessed when we can overcome a lot of our own issues. This morning, as I was praying, I know this probably came up because who knows? It's my personality, but I said, God, thank you for helping me with self-control. Because oftentimes, let's face it, we're out of control. And we can quickly get out of control when somebody gets crossways with us or we have this immediate reaction / response to something that we don't like. And so for those of you that, like myself, grew up not really understanding that blessing comes from God because of the grace of God, not because of the goodness of man. Now, it does happen when we're obedient, and you know, sometimes blessing doesn't happen real quick. I don't know if you've noticed that. You know, it's not like you pray and then it happens. You give and then you get it back. And what's funny is I know there have been times you've totally walked in obedience to God, maybe a week, a day, a year, whatever, and nothing seems to happen, and you don't look at yourself and go, I think I'll quit obeying. You just don't, because you know, number one, that obedience is could be punishable both by law and by relationship. But you don't, you don't stop being obedient. The Bible says the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So sometimes in your obedience, you just think, man, nothing's happening. And the same is said for giving. Some people say, well, you know, I try to give. I gave one Sunday and nothing happened all week. You know, I gave for a month and nothing happened all month. But the reality is, what I want us to grasp is this, that if we will do what God says to do, then we'll experience what God promises that we'll experience. And again, it doesn't come in our timing oftentimes. Matter of fact, sometimes it's delayed for a long time. But we continue to do it, and you'll find joy. Listen, eventually you will find more joy in the obedience than the fruit that comes with obedience. It brings pleasure to your life and the heart of God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Basically saying, Abraham, will you trust me enough to obey me? And what I'm requiring of you is pretty huge. I mean, and again, a lot of people live where they live simply because they have family there. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. However, when God says, I want you to go somewhere else, that's the better place. And for years, I've asked people, I said, now tell me why you live where you live. I don't know if you've ever asked anybody that question. Well, you know, I've got this job. Do you like your job? No, I really don't, but it's a living. And so some of the responses, I go, well, if you could live anywhere, where would you live? If you could do anything, what would you do? And that changes the conversation drastically. But then they say, you know, I got kids, I got grandkids, and I do too. I mean, I got a bunch of them. And matter of fact, every now and then I ask myself, why? And so, but I love kids, always love kids, and love my grandkids. At the same time, I always have to be willing to say, God, wherever you want me, that's where I'll be. And there's no greater way to express to your children and your children's children that our number one priority in life is to honor and obey God. And that may mean separation. But now we have Zoom, and we have FaceTime, and it's better because you don't have to babysit them now. You can turn that, well, I don't know what happened. I lost you, you know. Well, I'll catch you later, you know. Anyway, so the reality is that what I want us to understand is sometimes before we walk in the blessing, the way to that blessing will sometimes come with sacrifice, and we'll have to make adjustments, and we don't understand why God would ask us to do such a thing. But he's telling Abram, he said, I want you to leave your country, your family. I want you to leave your father's household. I want you to leave your people. He said, and I will show you, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, we know that was written specifically to Abram, but the principle is still there that as you bless, God blesses you and you become a blessing, the blessing cycle continues. There's never a time that we stop. There's never a time that we alter our course and say, I'm tired. But we continue to press. It's called the fight or flight syndrome. Some people will fight for everything that God wants them to have and everything God wants them to do. And other people say, just forget it. And if you just say forget it, it will be forgotten. And so it takes something to get where you want to go. So last week I said the number one obstacle is that we have to look, we have a tendency to look at what's behind us. We look at the things we've done wrong. We meditate on the regrets of our lives. And everyone in here has a past. And everyone in here, if I said, do you have anything in your life you regret? Every one of us, if we're honest, could say, yeah, I regret this. I regret that. And before long, you start meditating on what you're regretting instead of meditating on what you're potentially getting. And so I'm not suggesting that the past is always a bad thing. As a matter of fact, I spoke with a person going through something recently, and I said, you know, there are some things in our lives that are a little painful, but you never want to forget them because if you remember them, you may never do them again. That was the whole purpose back in the day when spankings were okay. You know, those were things that they, you know, matter of fact, they've caused me to have a real problem. And I can't overcome it. It's called a respect for people because I got spanked. Now, I know that that's debatable in today's world, and I don't like spankings. Trust me, I didn't like them. But the pain of those things helped me to remember I don't want to do that again. And that was the purpose, you know, you don't want to do that again. And so, again, I'm not advocating, I'm just simply saying the Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child, or you hate the child, not spoil it. That we converted that to spoil, but really it says you hate them because there's not a discipline, okay? Now, hopefully, if you have kids, they're good enough to where they can understand without that. That's awesome. My oldest son does a great job. His two boys, I'm amazed at how he disciplines and how they respond to them. It's really pretty cool and probably a better way. But I want us to understand that we can't allow our past to determine what our future looks like. And that becomes an obstacle because many people feel like, I can't do anything for God because I've done so much against God. I can't possibly expect God to use me. I can't expect God to do anything wonderful because you're looking at your past. But when you repent of your sin, he said, those are as far as separated as far as the east is from the west, that they'll never meet again. And so we have to really be careful. And I talked about, first off, there are memories that you have. And you have to address those memories and you have to cast them down. The Bible says, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. And so when you have a memory, you have to fight that memory if it's a memory that's going to hold you back from your future. If you don't, it will then become a mindset. That means a belief system that you embrace it so much it becomes a part of you. Not just a thought, but it becomes your life. That you literally create this mindset. And I grew up with this that, again, my parents were wonderful. They were Christians. But we had this defeated mindset because we were lower middle class. And anytime we saw somebody or my parents saw somebody that was doing better than us, and we did okay. I mean, it wasn't that we were bad. But if they were better than us, we had this mindset that they must have done something wrong to get what they have. Okay, now you know what kind of sick family I grew up in. Anyway, so, but I remember those things. And so I had this community mindset, the community I grew up in. And I had developed the same belief system because for 18 years of my life, that's where I lived. And you know, you can become, that's what you become if you're not careful. And so, but at some point when I was about 20, I thought, there's got to be more than what I'm experiencing. So I had to begin to break out of that mindset. And it took me years to break out of that mindset. And I had to pray and I had to study and I had to encounter God in a way that I had never encountered him. And because that will hold you back from the blessing of God. When somebody tries to bless you, say, no, I'm okay. That's called pride. And when you get into pride because somebody's going to help you or give you something and you refuse it, you're robbing them of the blessing that God wants to put more on them. And so I always tell people, you know, I had a hard time receiving. That was really hard because my dad never did. He was always giving, 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 but he had a real hard time receiving. As a result, I did as well. So if somebody wanted to bless me, I know, I'm okay, I'm okay. And I wasn't okay, but I wanted them to think I was okay. That becomes an obstacle to the blessings of God. When someone wants to be kind to you, receive the kindness and be grateful. And for finally, I would just, when somebody would give me something, I would say, can I pray for you? And I wanted to, and then I would pray, God, I thank you that they have blessed me, and I pray that this comes back to them. I wanted them to understand, I knew that God was, this was God. And we need to allow other people to do what God's called them to do, blessed to be a blessing. And then when that doesn't work, we start manipulating the situation, our mindset. We got to figure out a way to make it work. So this was last week. Now this week, the obstacle number two is not what's behind you, but what's before you. Now, you before you may be a blessing too great for you to even comprehend or receive. But more than that, there may be a mountain before you. There may be people criticizing you, obstacles. You can't get promoted. And that's right before you. Every day it's before you. And if you're not careful, you will make yourself a victim of people's treatment of you or responses to you. And you have to be very careful. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, it says, be strong and very courageous. This is what God's speaking to Joshua. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You see, God gets blamed for a lot of things he didn't do. Well, God, why didn't you do this for me? Why didn't you do that? And you ask yourself the question first, God, where did I turn right or where did I turn left? Because I promise you, God is a good God. And so if we can take ownership of the choices we make and the decisions we make and responsibility for those and say, God, I must have turned somewhere because this ain't happening. And so we have to address those things first with ourselves and say, God, I don't want to turn right or left. I want to obey you straight ahead. I want to move forward, and there's a mountain there. But you told me I can speak to that mountain. But you don't speak to the mountain until you are at the base of the mountain and go, well, that's a bigger problem than I thought. And you have to speak to that mountain. We face those all the time. We really do. And some people just decided to go ahead and build a house at the base of the mountain. It's like, well, can't get over it, but I can live in the shade of it half the day. God says, I want you to get through it. I want you to get beyond it. I want you to get over it. And Joshua's leading a bunch of cantankerous Israelites that Moses had left him, people that were mumbling and grumbling and complaining about everything. And why do you think God says be strong and courageous? Because if you don't, there will be people that will talk you out of your dream. They will talk you out of your destiny. They will criticize you out of your purpose. Many people are not living their purpose and their designed life, not because you're not capable, not because you're not qualified, but because you believed a lie that somebody else told you. Nothing good ever happens to our family. Why would you believe you could do that? Look at your scores. Look, your SAT and ACT are nothing but a reflection of your ability to take a test. Doesn't mean you're dumb. And let's just say you scored in the middle. That still doesn't determine your destiny. Your fight and your want to and your passion can get you through whatever it is you're trying to get through. Some people say, well, you know, I mean, back in the day, political correctness was not an issue. We did these tests at the end in high school of junior, senior year, and they would test you and say, you were qualified to be the following things. Based on the test, they qualified you. These are human beings. You're taking a test, and they told you, and they said, well, now, what would you want to be? And you say, well, you can't do that. The test reflects, and at the time, I wish I'd have known God, and I said, well, God reflects. Nothing's impossible with God. And if we know we have a passion in our heart and God puts something in our heart, the only way to press through it, because it becomes an obstacle. Now, if you're a type A, you're just stubborn enough to say, I'll get something, I'll tear the mountain down. I mean, and it's not always right because God says, I didn't say tear it down, I said speak to it. But type A people will start tearing it down. And we'll start drilling holes and blowing it up with dynamite, and we'll do all. God said, look, just speak to the mountain. Speak. And some of y'all, what you do is after about 2 days of speaking to him, well, I guess that mountain ain't going nowhere. I'll spend the rest of my life trying to get around it. When God said, look, trust me. He said, Joshua, trust me. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, this is where I had the hardest transition in my life. Of learning what the Bible was really for. The Bible is first a great history book. It really is. But more than that, it is a manual to take us to where God wants us to go. It's not just talking about history. It's talking about the future. And throughout the Bible, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And if we'll be careful about what we say, it's not that you're a bad person. But many people spend their whole life talking about their problems. They can articulate their problems right down to the letter, same, same, same. Instead of talking about those, start declaring and speaking to them and saying, this is where things are headed. Right now it looks bad. Right now things don't look good. But let me tell you something. I know God, and I'm supposed to go from glory to glory, and I'm declaring no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me is going to be refuted. My steps are ordered by God. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He can do more than I can think, ask, or imagine according to the power that works in me. Now, all of a sudden, you'll start seeing a shift. And I went to a church when I got born again, and I'm thankful for the church I went to, and I'm thankful for the pastor who led me to the Lord. But I started hearing how the word worked. And, you know, it was a real, if some of you remember the day, and some of you are too young, but we went from calling it the Bible to the Word. There was a lot of controversy in denominations. There was, well, the Word, no, it's the Bible. No, it's the Word of God. And once we converted it from a book to a word, we started realizing it really is alive. It's really alive. And we bring it to life by speaking it. We have to speak it. Some people say, well, you know, I read the Bible. What'd you get? Not a thing. Look, the Lord says, I will bless the righteous. I will surround you with favor as with a shield. When I read that, I went, everywhere I turn, I'm surrounded by the favor of God. He said, well, I don't feel favor today. This is not about how you feel. This is about what you know. The Bible says those who know their God shall do exploits, not those who feel their God. We don't often feel God. And some of y'all think because you don't feel him that he's gone somewhere. He left. But it's the God that we know, whether we feel him or not, we know he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you always. I tell you, I've got a lot of story. I've been flying 43 years. And I was coming home. I was on a flight Thursday coming home. And everything was great until we got near Dallas. I think Jerry Jones needs to move. Anyway, so the pilot comes on, says, you know, we're going to have to circle. We're in a holding pattern. And it was a little rough. But then we flew way almost up to Kansas, and they said, we're going to fly up, and then we're going to turn around, we're going to land. And I'm telling you, I've been on some rough flights, but this one I thought for sure, I'm going to meet Jesus today. Matter of fact, I had Wi-Fi, so I started texting Susan, and I thought, well, I'm not sure how this is going to go. People are throwing up, screaming, and the lady next to me is about to cry her head off. And I was conscious, are you afraid? I said, well, I wasn't, but I'm getting there. But what I remember was this. I thought, well, you know, my life's in the hands of God. And I wasn't necessarily speaking to the storm or anything, which I had done in the past. And God said, don't rebuke the storm. Just ask me for more faith. You know, sometimes we want things to stop. And God says, this is really going to help elevate your faith. And trust me, it did. And I used to tell people, don't fly with me. I'm always increasing my faith. And so we have those times where we want to quit something, and I thought, this could be an obstacle if I allow it to be an obstacle. But many years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me before I was even born again. He says, someday you'll be on an airplane, you'll be flying around the world. And ever since that prophetic word, I've had some of the most unusual experiences of anybody ever. I've had pilots come on and say, we don't know what happened. I'm thinking, well, if you don't, we're all in trouble. But I knew from the beginning that the devil would love to stop me from doing the will of God. He wanted to put an obstacle in front of me that would make me have fear. Well, the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. So I thought to myself, would I rather die in obedience to God or live in disobedience to him? I thought, I want to die all day long if it's in obedience to God. If this is how you want me to go down, let's bring it on. No more bills to pay. Nothing, no more problems. Why? Because there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness in heaven. I'd be like, bye-bye. You know, again, I this sounds silly to some of you, but many people have this great fear, and you make every decision not based on faith but on fear. Well, we can't go there because, or we can't do this because. And before you know it, you've talked yourself out of looking at a mountain and saying, get out of the way. God's called me to this. And certainly there are some concerns of fear. There have been singers that had beautiful voices but never would sing before people, and yet that was their call. They were afraid of what people would say about them. And let me tell you, people are critical. Anytime you get on stage, people are critical. It's like, well, you know, and I'm thinking, I always applaud people. I don't care who they are. If they're on stage and they're trying, I'm looking and going, good for you. Good for you. It doesn't matter how beautiful. I mean, to some degree, I mean, obviously. I've watched American Idol, and some parents just weren't nice to their children. They should have said, you can't sing. But we'll find something else you can do. You know, but I'm just saying, not everybody can. But I'm saying I honor people, respect people who say, I'm not going to let anything hold me back. So meditate means to, listen to this, mutter, imagine, utter, stutter, ponder. That's what all of this is about. That really meditating is a lot more difficult than what we think. In other words, we have to spend time set aside. Some people measure their prayers by their words, not the time spent in prayer. Please understand something. God knows what you're going to say before you ever say it. Now, this was a lesson I learned later in my Christian walk when I was having struggles, and I would get up at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning, and I'd be praying. And finally, and please don't take this wrong, because some of y'all think I'm being shallow with this, but it was how God addresses me. He said, if you'll shut up, I'll talk. I went, well, okay, I think that's a deal, because I'm running out of things to say, and you're probably tired of hearing them. But the reality was, what God was saying is, will you give me some of your time? Would you just put your focus on me? You see, it's not how beautiful or eloquent we pray at all. It's not proper grammar. It's none of that. It's saying, God, I'm giving you time because I believe the time invested in you will bring a great return into my life. And I'm not talking financially necessarily. I'm talking about the peace of God, the joy that's unspeakable, the calm that comes, all of the things that come with God. Just saying, God, I'm just going to give you some time. And we're so busy, we're distracted. And I was sitting at a restaurant the other day, and I'm watching husbands and wives, everybody's on their phone. I'm thinking, what a relationship. Were you texting each other? See, and again, I'm not against all the technology, but when technology begins to control the time that we spend with God and others, it takes away from the life that we're called to live. I'm someday I'm going to really irritate you because I'm going to talk about how to set things down. I used to tell my staff, turn your phone off when you go to bed and don't look at it. You would have thought I would have asked them to climb Mount Everest. It's like, can you not put it down? And again, I'm not trying to meddle, maybe a little bit. But the problems that we have and the weaknesses that we possess are because we haven't worked on the strengths that God are available. And part of that strength is, God, I'm not going to get distracted, but I'm going to focus and I'm going to meditate. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You see, I can look around and at other people, and I can say, I can't believe they're, and you, instead of saying, God, I am responsible to you. I am responsible to you. And it doesn't matter what's happening around me. What matters is what's happening in me. I have got to give myself to God in order for God to give himself to me. We keep waiting on God like he's a butler or a magician instead of saying he's really not. We just have to look and say, God, I haven't given myself to you today. I wake up every morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I surrender my life to you and submit my will to you. You say, well, that's it? That's the biggest prayer I can pray all day. I've been bought with a price. My life's no longer my own. It belongs to God. But then when I start getting out there, I say, now, God, not only do I surrender my life to you, but I submit my will to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. I can't say that for you or my wife or my kids, but I can say that for me. God, I submit to you. You see, if you're not liking what's happening in your relationships, you'll never change somebody else. But when somebody else sees you change, they may choose to change as well. I spent most of my life trying to fix people. I didn't realize I was the one that was broken. I didn't spend a lot of time on me, and that's where I should have been spending time. You say, well, isn't that narcissistic? No. When you start walking in the love of God, and people start seeing that love and experiencing that love, you don't even have to say anything. They go, I want what you've got. I want to be around you. You're so kind. instead of saying, you know what, if you change, we get along just fine. Look, whether you change or not, I can act deaf. I've learned sometimes it's not what I say, it's what I don't say that really matters. There, and people will wonder, if you don't respond to people and you just shut up, it'll freak them out. They're looking for a reaction, a response. And what are you thinking? I probably shouldn't say. Keep them wondering. No, I was always the guy that had a response, and typically it was fairly sarcastic. Very effective in winning an argument, but losing a relationship. Boy, it sure felt good in the morning. How many of you know the flesh really, it's needy? The first thing that had to happen is, and this is for the sake of simplicity, is Israel had water before them twice, Red Sea and the Jordan. And the Red Sea and the Jordan represented an obstacle between them and the promise of God. And we can read it literally, and it was literal, but there is a metaphorical definition for this, which is we will come to places in our lives that seem impassable. I can't get over it. I can't cross it. I can't beat it. And we can sit there and sit there and sit there while looking on the other side, knowing that that is the direction to God's promise for my life. And we have to cross it. We have to face it. And he says in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Israel had seen miracle after miracle, and they go through the Red Sea. What an awesome thing. But then they get to the Jordan at flood stage, and they have a struggle believing that God's going to take care of this. And God says, I'm going to do it different than I did before. I'm no longer going to have one man raise up his staff so that the waters will part. I'm going to take four of you knuckleheads. Probably didn't say that, but the original language. And I want you to get the ark, and I want you, and they had to carry it on their shoulders, and I want you to take it out and march into the Jordan at flood stage, four of you. I'm thinking Joshua got the better end than Moses, you know, but neither one of them had to really do it. It was great. Joshua's going, cool, God says y'all had to carry it out there. But when they did, it stopped. They had to take a step. They had to trust God. They had to obey God. And sometimes God will say, I want you to go stand in the situation that looks impenetrable, the impossible, and I want you to believe me, but walk in it. Take a step towards your destiny. You're waiting on God, and God's waiting on you. And can I tell you something? He'll outlast you all the time. Second thing is, you wish it wasn't there. So when you see something, the second thing is from the water, the metaphorical, or the thing that's stopping you, is a wish. The wish is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit, nor is it a gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I wish that would have never happened. It's not going to change that it did. And we spend, well, I wish I'd have never married you. Don't say that. Wish I would have never had kids. Don't say that, because they're here. We go down the line. If I would have known, I wish I would have known that the economy was going to be this way. I wish, I wish, I wish. Quit wishing and start declaring God will meet every need I have according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will take what the devil meant for harm. He will turn it for good. I have people that literally get frustrated with me because when they start complaining, I start giving answers. Not mine, God's. Well, God said. How many of you know you really irritate religious people when you say God said? And it's not like the Spirit of God in you. It's the Word of God that you're holding. And reminding somebody, this is what God's Word says in response to your crisis, your situation. I'm depressed. Well, the Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. So let's get into the presence of God. What are you doing to stay in the presence of God? And I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just saying I know when I get down. Like this morning, I was on my way to church, and I got to church, and I use my phone to sometimes look scriptures up and stuff, so I didn't have my phone. And so I told Susan, I said, let's go back and get it because we're way early. So I'm driving back, and all of a sudden, the song, How Great Thou Art, came up in my head, and I started singing it. Now, I sang it in the car so I wouldn't run people off. But then on the way back from my house, I told Siri, play How Great Thou Art, and Carrie Underwood singing How Great Thou Art. Oh, my gosh. I was so moved that I put myself in the presence of God. It wasn't like God was trying to avoid me, but I put myself there. And by the time I got here, I was ready to lay hands on everybody. I thought, we're just going to have a big old altar call, How Great Thou Art, God. Then I thought, well, that'd freak anybody else out. But I thought, you know, the day when you say, I just want to be in the presence of God, changes everything. You can be in the middle of the worst crisis, and God brings something to you. So this morning, all the way there and all the way back, I sang it on the way, Carrie sang it on the way back, and we were going to do a duet, but we didn't have time. And so we've got to stop wishing. And in Peter's case, in Luke chapter 5, remember it said they fished all night and caught nothing. And then Jesus shows up and says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Stop wishing and start fishing. Start doing what you know to do. When God says, put the net on the other side, they did. They didn't even wait for a minute. And then the last thing is, from water to wishing to wondering or wondering. Isn't it weird, the English language, you can wander or you can wonder? Wander, wonder. Well, Israel spent much of their time in the wilderness wandering. Just aimlessly, let me define it for you. Aimlessly, indirectly, or casually meander. That's what that kind of wandering. In other words, you're just meandering through life. And many Christians are. There is no direction scripturally, biblically, where we fight through and say, God, I am not laying down on this. I'm going to speak up. I'm speaking to my mountains. I'm declaring that if this job is not the place for me, I'm getting another one. I'm not going to sit around and complain every day. I'm going to bless the company I work for until there's another one that needs me to bless them. Yeah, you've been mistreated. Yeah, you've been overlooked, whatever it might be. But what you do with that is what changes the course of your future. If you sit around and you criticize, listen, the last thing, I don't even know why I'm saying this because this is not in my notes. But if you're criticizing the company you work for, the boss that you have, you're going nowhere. You bless those who curse you, bless and curse not. The only way you should get promoted is if you have the heart of the promoted. People who talk poorly about other people don't. Listen, you will leave the company you're with and enter the other one the same way you left, not better. Same goes with churches. People come and talk about another pastor to me. I say, no, you need to go back. I told one guy, I said, you need to go back and apologize to your pastor because you're going to come here and you're going to do the same thing to me, and I don't want you. I don't need any more critics. I got enough. I determined a long time, man, you better speak well. When you speak well of somebody, you're sowing seeds of wellness into your own life. So when if you're tempted to say, I can't believe today what he said, that happens every Sunday. People can't believe what I said. And I'm not saying that's always good, because there are times I can't believe what I said. It's like, I said that out loud in front of God's people. I am raw. I understand that. That's who I am. It's never going to change. I will always try to do the best I can, but somehow there are just little things like the Apostle Paul that I look and go, why did I do that? I've got a good mentor in the Bible. Wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R, to think or speculate curiously, to wonder about the origin of the solar system, for instance. In other words, you're in wonder of God. We need to spend our lives in wonder of God, not wandering about aimlessly without any purpose in our lives. You can blame your mom and dad. You can blame the environment you grew up in. You can blame a lot of other people for where you are today. But you are today where you are because of the choice you made to allow that to affect your life. Now, some of you have been through some drastic things, and I'm not minimizing the difficulty, but go listen to Joyce Meyer's story if you're having a problem, because she really had every reason to never worship God, never serve God, much less become a great voice for God. And when I hear her story, I think, I don't even have a story. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then God will do that and say, okay, you think you had it bad? Let me tell you who had it bad. And so it's not about comparing, but it's about knowing that God always has our best. And the obstacles that are behind us and the obstacle right before us will keep us from our destiny if you don't speak to it. So some of you have been talking about things for a long time. Your conversations are circular. They just keep going around. And like I said, I have people that get mad at me because every time they say, matter of fact, one of our kids will say, I'd love to talk to Mark, but I know that he's just going to be positive. And they laugh. They're not being mean. They just know. You talk to me, I'm going to tell you that God's got a way out for you. God's got a way and a purpose for you. God can change it in a minute. God has the best in mind for you. I hear you, but I'm not going to live there. I'd be a horrible counselor. Because all I'm going to do is say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is God in us than all that's going on in the world. Now, I don't want to hear that. It's all I know. That's how I dug myself or climbed myself out of the environmental hole that I grew up in. And again, my parents did the best they could, but we went to church because we did not want to go to hell. My mom actually really loved Jesus. I think the rest of us didn't want to go to hell. But then I fell in love with Jesus when I found out his word was alive. And the reason we come to church, and sometimes what I say will resonate with you. Sometimes God will talk to you while I'm talking because what I'm saying ain't worth listening to. Something like that. I don't know. But God will always honor your time and your investment when you are in his house. When I used to sit in church, I would listen to the pastor, but I was also listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit to say, how does this apply to my life? See, I can't make all that happen, but I can tell you, throw you nuggets, and God will say, that connects here. This is a piece to your puzzle you've been looking for. It may not be the whole puzzle, but if I can give you a piece that you've been hunting for and you thought it was didn't come in the box or it fell on the floor in the carpet and you can't find it, I guess puzzles are a thing of the past. But poor people, we used to use them all the time. What are we going to do? We're going to work a puzzle. Why? Because we have nothing else. Don't allow the obstacles to overshadow the opportunities that are hidden inside that obstacle, because that's what they are. God's trying to make you stronger and bigger and make you better. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your patience with us, your grace toward us, your forgiveness in us. God, we just thank you today that there's not an obstacle that is too big to overcome. And Lord, we're going to start declaring that every day. Every mountain be moved, every river be stopped, so that we can cross over. God, I thank you that without faith it's impossible to please you, so we're going to exercise faith, God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all pray this prayer, a prayer of repentance for those who have not given their life to Jesus. And we get texts every week of people that either watched online or some people in here. You gave your life to Jesus, and that's what this is all about. Nothing's more important than being a child of God and knowing that you're forgiven. So let's pray. Pray this with me. Say, Father God, thank you so much for loving me so much that you gave your only son to die on the cross for my sin. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Today I give my life to you. I repent of my sin, and I declare today I am born again. Amen. If you prayed that prayer watching online or watching this recorded message, please text the word SAVE to 405-513-10. Walk through that process, that digital process. We want to pray for you ongoing weeks to come. 405-513-10. Just text the word saved, and it'll walk you through what to do next, all right? Those of you in-house, prayer team will be the stage and to my left in just a moment. Just go up and say, "Today I gave my life to Jesus. Would you keep praying for me?" Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. This is your opportunity, all right? This time, we want to receive our tithes and offerings. Again, blessing is connected to obedience. And, you know, I just want everybody to walk in the blessing of God. I really do. I want everyone to be blessed. That is my heart's desire. And when I first started pastoring, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I'd preached to young people, had a youth group of 1,000 kids. But, you know, kids didn't have money. I was there to teach them and train them. But when I became a senior pastor, people had needs and bills and benevolence needs and requests. And I was just trying to help everybody. I just thought God would help everybody. And I literally one night as I was praying, I felt the Lord say, "You're helping people I cannot help. And I want you to stop." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They're being disobedient. The reason they're in the situation they're in is because they have refused me and refused to do what I said." Changed everything for me. So then I created this design this way. I said, "Now, do you attend church? Do you serve? And do you give?" I said, "You know, you've got to understand that if I give, it's like a mom and dad. If a kid comes up and asks mom for something and the kid has not done their chores, they haven't been obedient, and mom says, 'Oh, I just love you so much, I'll give it to you.' What you're doing is you're enabling them to continue to be stupid." Okay, let me not use a different word. To be disobedient. Okay, you're encouraging it. So daddy comes home and says, "Why'd you do that? They haven't done their chores. They haven't obeyed their homework. They're behind. They're failing," and yada, yada, yada. What he's saying is, I can't reward disobedient behavior. Well, we're asking God to give to somebody, and we're giving to somebody. Now, every now and then, there is a legit need that somebody says, I've been obeying God, and I'm trying, and I'm doing everything. Say, "Man, we're going to help you." But most of the time, people say, "I just don't trust God." When it comes to giving and tithing, that's all the church wants. And I'm thinking, you have been lied to big time. And the devil would love to steal from you. And the way he does that is Malachi 3 says, how do we rob from God? You rob in tithes and offerings. And God made it very clear in Malachi, this is how come you're in the dilemma you're in. And so I encourage all of you watching, become obedient to God. You will not have enough. The Bible says it'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you want to give today, you can give by text, 405-546-2226. You can put your smartphone on the QR code, and you can set it up on debit or credit card. You can do it anytime, 365 days a year, whatever. And you can also mail it to 5821 Northwest Expressway right here in Oklahoma City, 73132. Give on your way out. Or you can go to our website, mosaicokc.church/give. I just want to encourage you, walk out your relationship with God. Okay, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to the left of the stage. And as they do, I want to remind you of a couple of things. If this is your first time here, we have a gift for you at the information kiosk. Also, if you want to serve, there are a couple of places that we're really trying to add to right now. One is the tech team, all the cameras and all the stuff, the wall back here and all that stuff. We got a diligent group of people, but if one of them were to miss, we need backup. So if you want to be a part of the tech team, please sign up at the welcome kiosk and say, "You know, I want to serve in that area." And what we try to do, and get this, work one, worship one. You say, "Why do you have two services?" Some people work one and they worship one. And you say, "But wouldn't that be 3 hours?" You'll go to a 3-hour movie. Okay, you got it. And so it's just one day a week. And you don't have to do it every Sunday. And then you can say, "I want to sign up for 90 days, whatever. And then we also need nursery help, which is always the case. And probably the most scriptural place in the church, because the Bible says we'll all be changed. You're very slow. So anyway, please get signed up, and you can go text the word serve to 405-513-10. You don't have to stop by. Just text the word serve, put your information in, and then we will get a hold of you, okay? Well, let's stand to our feet. We're going to go out with a shout because that's what we do. And I want to wish you the best week ever. Don't whine about time change. Say, "Today I skip forward, baby. I just springing. I spring forward," all right? Stay happy this week, and remember, it's your choice, not your circumstances, that determine who you are. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Mark Crow. I just want to take a quick moment to thank you for joining us online. We hope you have a blessed week this week and get to be a blessing to those around you. I want to invite you to join us at Mosaic Church OKC next week at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. or join us online. God bless you.